Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com, for faith, fellowship, and love. CMF Curo is the country's first Catholic healthcare ministry to provide an affordable health-sharing solution rooted in Catholic teaching and community. Learn more at mycatholichealthcare.com. That's mycatholichealthcare.com. CMF Curo, healthcare fully alive.
O Lord, my God, thou searchest me. My heart and mind are known to thee. Nothing is hidden from thy eyes.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now at the hour of our death. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. Let us pray. O God, that instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, granted by the same Spirit, we may be truly wise and ever joyous in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord. Lady Guadalupe, St. Joseph, St. Ignatius, St. Paul, all God's angels and saints,
pray for us.
The Lord be with you.
And
reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who asks finds, and to the one who knocks the door will be open. Which one of you would hand his son a stone when he asks for a loaf of bread? Or a snake when he asks for fish? You then who are wicked know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good things to those who ask him? The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
Good evening. I'd like to make a bridge, a connection between that passage and what we're going to be reading in Divine Mercy. I'd like also to welcome the youth group we have here today. It's great to have you. Thank you very much for coming. What we're going through is, we're going through it very slowly. We're going through the diary of St. Faustina, which those who are with me, I think you're really getting a lot out of it, right? I find that I've really fallen in love with this this wonderful, wonderful book. Every night I get something online, a short passage, and then a prayer, and I just find it's really helping me out spiritually. The last 2 weeks, we read one number, which is very long, and that one number was 145. And they gave kind of a summary of that one number being the call to spiritual warfare, if you remember. The call to spiritual warfare that all of us are basically in, we're in combat zone. And I spoke about our warfare is against three enemies. And they are the devil, the flesh, and the world. Those are the three primary enemies that we have to confront, whether we like it or not. Okay? You could tell the devil, go back to hell, he's going to come back to haunt you anyway, okay? You tell your flesh, calm down, and you're tempted to eat that extra hamburger, right? I mean, it's just, you could tell the world fall in upon you, but you're tempted to buy an extra dress at Macy's, even though you have 25, okay? So the devil, the world, the devil, the flesh, and the world are knocking at our door every day, whether you want it or not. It seems as if the more we run away from them, the more they follow us, no? But now Jesus said, be of good cheer because I've conquered the world. Amen? Be of good cheer because I've conquered the world. Now, the number that we're going to be reading today, I tried to connect to that gospel passage, which is Matthew 7:7. I didn't stutter or stammer, if you think that I'm a stutter or stammer. No, it's Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Maybe you thought that I was stammering or stuttering, no? It's Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Ask, and you will receive. Seek, and you'll find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. Whoever asks, receives. Whoever seeks, finds. Whoever knocks, the door is open to him. See, I've got to memorize them. I love that passage. That passage, you're going to see, fits perfectly with the number that we're going to be going to. And this is a short number, but I think that this is I think you're going to fall in love with it. And I'm going to try to help you to put this into practice. So to make a long story short, we're all going to be begging tonight, begging for a real strong desire to go deeper in our prayer life. Amen? I repeat, beg for the grace to go deeper in our prayer life. When all is said and done, this is really the most important thing in the world. And if you're faithful to your daily examine, you should be doing that by now. We have some spiritual directors here, spiritual companions. You should be the experts in the parish on that. Hello? I mean, you should be. A very good examine every night is, how was my prayer life today? How did my holy hour go? How was my communion? Was it fervent? Did I pray my rosary, hopefully rosaries, better pray, more than one? Did I pray them well? Was I aware of God's presence during the course of the day? Was I good in my vocal prayers? Did I pray my Angelus? You don't have to be simply in Manila or Cebu to pray the Angelus, right? Did I pray my Angelus well? Did I say my morning prayers? Did I try to concentrate when I was praying? This is something we should always be working at on a daily basis to try to grow in our prayer life. And to be honest, when we fall into sin, it's because either we're not praying or we're praying poorly. Hello? I repeat, when we sin, we're all sinners. It's because either we're not praying, we're cutting corners, or our prayer has become mediocre. Maybe you don't like the word, but I'll say mediocre. We're lacking fire. We're lacking that St. Paul within us. No, you read his Mass, everything is fire. This man is on fire, right? Blinded by fire, on fire with the love of Christ. No? So, Without more ado, let's. The next number is very short, and I'll read it and I'd like to give you my commentary that I wrote in my notebook about this. Number 146. Do all of you have either your textbooks or the sheet? How about our welcome guests? Do they have a sheet? Do all of you have a sheet? Eric, are there any extras? Or I guess
we handed them all out.
Okay, that's a good sign. We get a good group here. Okay. Hopefully those that have not turned them into airplanes. No? Use them for your bird nest. That wouldn't be very good. No? Okay, the number is not long. It's 146. Follows 145. Okay. What's the topic? Guess what? Prayer. This is a masterpiece. It's so simple but so profound. I read in the past, but really when I was meditating this morning, my holy hour, I read through it, it kind of hit me like a ton of bricks. Prayer. A soul arms itself by prayer for all kinds of combat. See how this is an extension of 145? I see there's an interconnection between 145 and 146. Okay, so all kinds of combat. Conquer the devil. Prayer. Conquer the flesh. Prayer. Conquer the world that wants to seduce us into believing that true happiness is found here. Prayer. Why do the apostles fail the Lord on Holy Thursday? They fell asleep when they should have been praying. What did our Lord do? If you want, possibly the greatest model of, no, obviously the greatest model of prayer is Jesus Christ. The best example is the Garden of Gethsemane. I don't think there's any better model in the whole world than that. You just take one word at a time, one verse at a time, and here you have what we have to try to do. Jesus is suffering a profound desolation. What does St. Luke say? He prays all the more fervently. And he starts to sweat blood. Then the angel comes to comfort him. The apostles fall asleep three times. And then our Lord is able to drink the chalice and go to Calvary. Where did our Lord get the strength to go to Calvary? Prayer. What's prayer? So preparing yourself for combat, prayer is the key. Let's go through it. Whatever state the soul may be, it ought to pray. I really like that. Whatever state the soul may be, you have to pray. Now, it's interesting. If you have arrived at transforming union, and you're going through what's called the mystical marriage that John of the Cross speaks about, and Teresa of Avila, you've gone through the dark night of the soul. Probably most of us have not arrived at that state yet, probably. Maybe you have. There are many people that think they're in the, they've gone through the dark night of the soul, they're really in the bright day of the flesh. One of my oblate priests said that back in Chile. I never forgot about that. No? Mm-hmm. But if you have arrived at the highest realm of prayer, That's the type of person that longs for prayer even more. Can't live without prayer. It's his life's breath. You think, well, he's going through the dark night of the soul, mystical marriage, he's arrived at a transforming union. Well, I have to pray anymore. On the contrary, well, his whole life is a prayer. When he goes through that, to quite the contrary. Move on. A soul which is pure and beautiful must pray. What does she say? Or else it will lose its beauty. I love that. That's a great phrase, isn't it? That a soul that is adorned with diamonds and rubies and emeralds, no? The beauty of a virtuous life is easier for that diamond. You slip and you fall, and it falls into a mud puddle. Ah. So if we don't persevere in prayer, we're not going to persevere in virtue. Don't kid yourself. If you go through the exercise with me 10 times, you've been here in St. Peter's Shell for 25 years, you don't persevere in prayer, you could fall into the quagmire of ugliness. You fall into moral quicksand, where you're sinking up and up to your eyebrows. It's not good. So none of you here pat yourself on the back. Don't canonize yourself before time, okay? Don't make holy cards of yourself and sell them at the door. I'm not going to buy any. St. Paul says, be careful if you're standing, lest you fall. Careful you're standing, huh? A gust of wind can knock you on your fanny. Okay? Yeah. Very easily. Let's move on. A soul which is striving after this purity must pray, or else it will never attain it. When she's saying purity, it doesn't simply refer to sexual purity. It goes way beyond that. Often our intentions are tarnished. Our intentions are, sometimes St. Louis de Montfort says, they're kind of mixed. They're doing things for the love of God, but sometimes there's some self-interest in what we're doing. We don't always have the AMDG. Know what that is? Everything for the honor and glory of God is our primary motivation. Don't kid yourself. Sometimes there's more self-interest than God-interest interactions. We want people to thank you. Father Al Hall, who was here, once told the story of this donkey that was, he was charged to work on Corpus Christi, and he was pulling one of the carriages, and on the top of the carriage was there was the Blessed Sacrament. And they had the altar service there, and when the Blessed Sacrament came, pulled by the donkey, all the people were clapping, and the donkey's ears went up like this. I think we got some of that donkey within us, no? Well, they thought the applause was for him. No, it's for Jesus, no? Got some of that donkey within us, huh? A soul which is newly converted must pray, or else it will fall again. I'll give you a pastoral observation. Next week, by the way, we'll have to have our perseverance in the new church. Remember that? Because there's a retreat going on. It's a big Holiness Padakrishna retreat that they have every year. It's a big one. And pray for them. It's called initiation. No? And those retreats, they do a lot of good. I've been involved in them for a quarter of a century, and they do a lot of good. But you know what happens is they'll probably get, I have to ask, probably get 80 people. When me and Father Larry were in the heyday, we got as many as 220. Back about maybe 15 years ago. That's a big number. Now, of these, say for example, get as many as 100. Okay, how many of these people will be in the follow-up sessions the following week? Maybe 80. In the following week, 70. In the week after that, 60. Then the week after that, 50. 6 months, 10. Yeah, and maybe get 10% that persevere. Now, I'm not saying that the retreat was a failure. The retreat will leave an indelible mark upon them. But what happened was, what drew them into the retreat was a lot of emotion. It's a charismatic group. They don't call themselves charisma, but it's a charismatic group. It is, no? With a lot of, you know, singing, and there's a lot of alabanzas, and you know, they're moving each other, sometimes jumping up and down like kangaroos. You know what I mean? For example, you're dragging Cholitos, gang members from the street, I mean, the fact that they're here, praise the Lord, no? But for them to persevere, it's hard. So it's easier for them to go back to the lifestyle after the retreat. You got me? That's why, and I'm not clapping my hands for my group, but the exercises, if you do the exercises well and you persevere, you people have a very solid spiritual life. You know why? Because you're not basing your spiritual life upon feelings. If you base your spiritual life upon feelings, you are lost. I do my holy hour every morning. And I'm heading toward an hour and a half. Now, that will probably be my Lenten proposal. I want to up a notch. I want to give more time. I got some holy hours that are really great. Others where I'm distracted the whole time, fighting temptations, sometimes yawning. You, Father? Yes. Oh, not that I'm really, not the planet. Sometimes the day before I had a long day and I get up and I'm still tired. Whether I'm tired or not, I'm going to do it anyway. Sometimes the only thing I can say to the Lord is, Lord, I want to hang out with you. At least here I am, you know. At least I'm here, Lord. Take my heart. And maybe those are the best. Just bring the Lord my weariness. Come to me, all of you are weary. But I'm there. In the midst of temptations, yawning, and distractions, I'll lift up my gaze and say, Lord, here's your tired friend. Good to be here, Lord. Lord, I'm happy to be with you. And sometimes I'll hear the interlocution, well, I'm happy that you're here too. But I don't depend upon feelings, no? We've got a youth group here. One of the analogies I give is this. After I finished my second year at the university, I was able to land a pretty good part-time a job for 2 months. I worked on, you ever hear of General Motors? I landed a pretty good job in General Motors in Framingham, Mass. It was there paying pretty good bucks. I just worked for a couple of months, but I was pretty good bucks so I could pay for my books, you know? And my turn started at 6 o'clock in the morning. That means I had to get up maybe 4:30, something like that. And General Motors, so I had to work on the assembly line. And remember the first, one of the first things that they gave me to do was, they made about 45 cars an hour. Very, very efficient. This is in Framingham, Mass, close to Boston. Even though I live close to Boston, I was never contaminated to become a Red Sox fan, even though... Don't tell Father Larry that, okay? I prohibit you. So that means, in my position, what I had to do had to be done in 45 cars an hour, about a minute and 20 seconds. What I had to do? Okay, I had an air gun with rivets. And every car that passed by had to rivet the aluminum behind the license plate. You know what that is? There's a license, but there's an aluminum structure. And I had to rivet it in with a couple of rivets. Then I'd have to throw a new, I had to throw a plastic carpet behind. So that was my job. I'd do that for eight hours. Then I did it so well, this brilliant university student, that they raised me to be an inspector. Try to inspect underneath the hood just a portion. I did like a third of it. I did that so well that they gave me the prestigious position of driving the new cars into the parking lot. Yeah. Okay, right now I'm arriving at the fourth degree of humility. Are you ready? It was the easiest, but it was the one I did most poorly because I had to do a hairpin turn. What that is? I was always a pretty good driver, but I had to pull it out, and the drive was a hairpin. And the second car I drove out, I drove into the wall. So I was demoted. Can I tell you what the demotion was? This was the fifth degree of humility. They put me up on the second floor. You know what a chassis is? The chassis that was hanging from a chain. And every minute and a half, I just had to push it. All my study of Shakespeare and Milton and Byron to do this. Ah. And at least I was getting paid the same. And my little brother got a job there. He was about 17. You know what he had to do? He had to put the seat in the back, and he had to go back, and he had to push it in with his legs. I'm saying that because, I tell you, I never arrived late. Because if I arrive late on the assembly line, you have an inspector there, they notice, it's already 6:30, and there are five cars that do not have that fixture in it. Let's see. His name is Broom. Is your name Broom? Yes, my name is Broom. Get on your broom and fly away and never come back again. No, Mrs. Escova. Pongas y sobre la escoba. Well, y no regrese más. Si habla español. I never arrived late. You know why? Because they paid me a lot of big bucks to be able to pay for my studies. No? I give this analogy because how easy it is for us if we don't have a solid faith. Well, I'm not going to do my holy hour. I'll do 45 minutes because I just don't, I kind of don't feel like it this morning. It's common. You're basing your prayer life upon feelings. And prayer does not depend upon feelings. Or rather, prayer is an act of the will. And it might be that your holy hour this week, where you experience most aridity, most dryness, most struggles, most temptations, most distractions, who knows, maybe that was your best holy hour of the whole week. Are you shocked? Are you surprised what I'm saying? Because it doesn't depend so much on feelings, but it depends upon one thing, goodwill. Goodwill means you're giving your heart to God, even though maybe you don't really feel like it. Why do so many marriages end up in divorce? Because it's based more on feelings than on true love. Hello? It's based on feelings rather than true love. Most of you here, most of you people, you're married, some of you are widows, some of you, most of you are married. How long does the honeymoon last? When you're coming back from the honeymoon, maybe 10 days later, you get a flat tire and you see the real colors of your spouse, right? And it's over, right? Our spiritual life is like a honeymoon. God attracts us by consolation. And then he pulls the consolation away and then separate the men from the boys. Huh? Separate the men from the boys. And see who's a real lover. Do you really love me or are you a fair weather friend? Huh? Remember that expression? You're only there when the sun is shining. You're only there when the birds are chanting. You're only there when you can experience the fragrant aroma of spring roses in your nostrils. You can speak like a poet. Now you got to be there. You know, an expression in Spanish. They're like, estar al pie del cañón. Any of you know that expression? Estar al pie del cañón. How do you translate that? What? What? Okay. Literally, it's, you know, you're right there near the cannon. But the spiritual one, you're at the foot of the cross, being faithful to the Lord, right? Do you people really want to grow in your prayer life?
Yes.
I heard only two voices among 100, huh? We might have to get a hearing aid, I don't know. You're going to say, what, Father? You get one too, okay? But half of the battle is, I've said that you have to really desire to, you have to desire to pray well. St. Augustine says this, we're created to love. Created to love. He says, choose wisely the object of your love, then love with all your heart. St. Augustine, Confessions. Amen? We're created to love. Choose wisely the object of your love. Love with all your heart. The object is not so much a physical object, it's a person. That person is? Erica? Jesus Christ. It's a person. How many of us make courses and study and efforts to learn something? Think about some hobby you have. Learning how to speak in Vietnamese. Oh, what about that? I certainly have to put a lot of effort into that, baby. or learning a sport. Or learning how to cook. Or maybe learning the art of eating your mother's cooking. Right, Therese? No? All these are arts, no? How much time and effort do we place in some hobby or sport? Shouldn't we spend even more to learn how to pray well? Amen? Yeah. Remember, I heard this story from that Father Carapi. May God bless him, and he was a great preacher, no doubt about it. No? Remember him?
Yeah.
He told a story of this four-year-old girl that would get up at 4:30 in the morning to go to an ice rink. She'd be ice skating to race for 2 hours from 5 to 7 every morning. She did this every day until she was about 15 years old, more than 10 years, so that she could win the gold medal in the juniors, you know, in ice skating. Wow! What an effort to win a gold medal in ice skating. Shouldn't we place even more effort to win a gold medal in our prayer life? Hello? Think about the Olympic Games. Do they prepare for the Olympic Games like 3 weeks before? Jaime? Usually, right after they finish, they're already preparing for the next Olympic Games, right? To win a medal that will tarnish and rust in time, as Paul says. People go so much to win a crown that will perish and wither. Here we're trying to win the gold medal of our salvation, which depends on prayer. And how flippant and nonchalant and how lackadaisical we can be in that most noble pursuit or endeavor. And even something as simple as this. How many parents here? Okay, a lot of you have children that are older now. Some of your children are already married, maybe. Did you make a real sincere effort to teach your children to pray when they were small? Say no, Father. Probably not. Hello? What would you give yourself from 0 to 10? Or from from A to F. Probably a C, right? Maybe a C plus on a good day. How many parents will send their children to bed without eating? Erica? How many parents would send their children to bed without praying the rosary? Oh! In Portemas, Elam on Panson. Much more important, right? The soul than your stomach, huh? So we place the material up here and the spiritual down here. Now, so the exercises help us to change the order. Place God here. Place the material below. That's a proper order according to the eyes of God. And it all boils down to do we really believe in the power of prayer? Do we?
Yes.
Do we really believe? Do we ever read Grace, did you ever read James chapter 6? Eric, you ever read James chapter 6? You don't remember? Okay, no, there's only James chapter 5, okay. Okay. There's only 5 chapters, okay. You probably do? Well, tell me what it is, you know. Ask the Pope to maybe add another chapter to the Bible, okay. But James chapter 5, there is that. And it says this. Elijah was a man like us, a mortal man like us. But he was a man of fervent prayer. And he said that when he prayed, there was a drought for many years. But when he prayed, guess what happened? Skies were open and the rain came down. And then we saw the rain really coming down in buckets. What happened? He prayed, and guess what happened? The skies were closed. In the Diary of St. Faustina, we'll come across this probably before the year 2050, moving at my pace. St. Faustina was in the convent, and there was a storm that was about to break out. And she prayed, and the storm was prevented. Jesus said he was about to destroy Poland. Remember that? He was about to destroy Poland. He said, I will not destroy Poland because of one person. Who is that?
Faustine.
Because of the prayers of one person, one holy person, one prayerful person, the whole country was spared. Wow. Powerful. Now, after my Mass in the morning, I pray the rosary. This was the thought I had. Correct me if I'm wrong. St. Faustina would sometimes knit, and she'd make these stitches. And she said, Jesus, every stitch I make, I want you to save a soul. Remember that? My prayer this morning was when I was praying the rosary, every Hail Mary that I say with the people, 1,000 souls will be saved. I think God heard me. You tell you why? St. Faustina is much more holy than I am, of course. However, Jesus said, ask with trust. And I just finished celebrating Mass. I had the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus within my soul. And I'm a Catholic priest. Power. I believe. I believe. And this was the thought I had. The Lord said, yes, ask with bold confidence and I'll give you whatever you want. Ask and you'll receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be open. What is the prayer that Jesus loves most? Prayer for the conversion and the salvation of souls. That's the prayer that Jesus loves most. Why didn't you ask for the same thing? A very small group here, but we have a lot of fervent people. Beg for more. The graces are limited by our lack of trust and confidence in Christ. I repeat, the grace of God is limited by our lack of faith and confidence. Remember the movie Little Boy? Chaparrito, right? Remember Little Boy? Any of you see the film?
Yeah.
Did he move the mountain? You don't remember the scene. He actually moved the mountain because he had faith. Remember he's sitting with the priest? Did he move the bottle? You don't remember that scene, huh? Sitting at the table with the priest there, and he's trying to move the bottle, and he's praying, and he's praying, and then the priest gets up and he moves the bottle. Well, it's a secondary cause. God sometimes uses, as Aristotle says, secondary instrumental causes, right? Efficient cause, efficacious cause, secondary cause. Yes, but the bottle was moved. We can move mountains, my friends, if we simply have trust and confidence. Amen?
Amen.
So I really believe, some of you go to Mass every day. Do you?
Yes.
How many graces really come from your communions? Some. But there's infinite reservoir of graces that God wants to give to you, but you got to tap into it. And that tapping into it is just one word, trust. Jesus, I trust in you. Father Greg Stahl, may God bless his soul, would sometimes pray. Why not pray that by your communion and our prayer and MS, we can empty purgatory every day? Hello? A good prayer? Jesus focuses upon not so much the multitude, but individuals that are they're madly in love with him. As Father DeBay would say, in love with him head over heels. God places much more attention on one soul that's on fire with love with him than hundreds of thousands of mediocres. Yeah. One soul like St. Paul, right? One soul like Francis de Sales. One soul like Thomas Aquinas, we're going to be celebrating, right? One soul like your friend, John Bosco, next Friday, right? Think of these individuals, they're obviously instrumental in saving millions of souls. I know about you, simply thinking about John Bosco and Thomas Aquinas gives me grace and light and peace and consolation. You just mention those, it picks up my spirit. Just mentioning their name, John Bosco, you know? Thomas Aquinas, Francis de Sales. Just their name, what about that person, even more so? A lot depends upon us as individuals, really growing deeper in the love for Christ. As Adrian Rogers says, our famous Baptist minister, God can use little people with little to offer, but with great hearts to do great miracles for Him. I think we belong to that little people club with just a little to offer, but we can always have great hearts. If we have great hearts, we can do miracles for Him. Maybe the miracles are invisible, but they're just as powerful as physical miracles you might be able to see with your own eyes. An invisible miracle of a sinner returning to God's grace, Aquinas says, is greater than raising someone from the dead. Yeah. Sinner that goes in a confessional and makes a good confession, leaving his mortal sins, is a greater miracle than raising someone from the dead. Of course, the LA Times is going to see the one raising from the dead, right? But God is going to see the physical, the spiritual miracle more than the physical. Amen? So let's just finish reading this. It's such a beautiful, beautiful passage. A sinful soul plunged in sins must pray that it might rise again. It might rise again. And often that sinful soul that rises again comes through the instrumentality of fervent people like yourselves praying for the conversion of the sinner as a secondary cause. And then, there is no soul which is not bound to pray. So the worst sinner in the universe and the greatest saint, there's one thing in common. They're both loved by God and they both have to pray. Whether you're the worst sinner in the world or you're the greatest mystic and saint in the world, you still have to pray. Because that greatest mystic could fall out of grace and the worst sinner in the world can become a great saint. That's the way God works. St. Alfonso Liguori, who said, he who prays will be saved, he who does not pray will be damned, he who prays as little places his salvation jeopardy. By the way, that's in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, made this comment. As Jesus hung on the cross, who was on his right and who was on his left? Two thieves, right? According to Alphonsus, who was the one that was saved? Hello? The good thief. Okay, why was the good thief saved? Okay, good. St. Alphonsus is much more simple than you people. He said, because he prayed. You're more verbose. I mean, St. Alphonsus, very, very taciturn, very much to the point. Because he prayed. Isn't prayer talking to God? Didn't he talk to Jesus? Didn't he say, Lord, remember me when you'll come into your kingdom? Did Jesus hear his prayer? Did Jesus carry it out?
Yes.
So Alfonso points out, one was saved, one was lost, because one prayed and the other cursed. There's a huge difference. One prayed and trusted he was saved. The other one rejected God. So the key to salvation, the key to holiness, the key to perseverance, the key to purity, the key to holiness, all depends upon one word, and that is the word of prayer. And then, for every, are you following me? For every single grace, every single grace in the world comes to the soul through prayer. Every grace you receive in this world comes through prayer. And prayer is contact with God. So let's renew our energy, our proposal, our desire to fight the good fight, run the good race, persevere until the very end by striving all the days of our life to try to pray better and better and better. And that will result in our salvation, which we will be brought before the Blessed Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, to adore the Trinity forever and ever and ever, but as a result of a deep prayer life. Amen?
Amen.
Let's beg Mary for this grace. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour. Glory be to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God bless and have a great night.
Thou art before me and behind, and thou hast broke my heart and mind. Upon me thou hast laid thy hand. O Lord, how could I?
That's a beautiful session.
BreadBox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota in Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit Toyota on Nicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington. Home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at LexusOfLexington.com.